Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we are studying Perek Dalet of Melachim Bet. Perek Dalet contains four miracles performed by Elisha that each give us greater insight into his nature as Navi. He seems to perform these miracles in a routine manner and at the drop of a hat. As we have mentioned before, Elisha's miracles involve providing for people in need and focusing on building community. Let's explore whether these aspects hold true in this perek. The B'nai Nevi'im are mentioned in the first miracle. The widow of one of the B'nai Nevi'im turns to Elisha for help to pay her creditors. She refers to her husband as a well-known Yarei Elokim in Pasuk Aleph. Based on these words, the Midrash identifies her husband as Ovadia, servant in the household of Achav, the one who was known to fear Hashem and hid 100 Nevi'ei Hashem between two caves in order to escape death by the hands of Jezebel. Interesting details of the miracle Elisha performs for her include borrowing kelim from the neighbors and closing the door to her house while the miracle is being performed. What are these about? Also, why does Elisha ask her in Pasuk Bet to locate what she has in her house first before doing anything? Elisha purposely uses the little bit of oil she has left as the base from which the increased oil comes from. He wants to encourage a little effort on the part of the recipient and identifies even the little amount of positive that exists as a starting point for Hashem's larger intervention. It also demonstrates the ability to find a miracle from within the existing teva, nature. By involving the neighbors, Elisha is also ensuring that the personal miracle being performed for this woman will affect more than just her and increase the awareness of Hashem among many in her community. This woman also had to have emuna when she went to her neighbors and asked them for the vessels, as she would have to provide an explanation why she needed them. This miracle reminds us of a similar one that Eliyahu performed in Tzarfat, in Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin. Both stories involve a widow with practically no food, and in both cases, a large amount of oil is provided miraculously. It is interesting that Elisha tells the woman to shut the door for the miracle to occur here, just like Eliyahu shut the door in the house of the Tzarfatit when, after giving her the miracle with the oil, he also revived her son. The sanctity of the miracle required it to be removed from the public eye, as defined by the word kedusha, which means separateness. There are also several differences between the two stories. In this story, the woman approaches Elisha for help, whereas Eliyahu came upon the woman in Tzarfat and asked her for food before performing the miracle. Elisha is strictly providing for this woman, whereas Eliyahu benefited from this woman's food as well, as he was provided shelter while being on the run from Achav during the drought. In this story, the widow does not need to do much to receive the miracle, whereas with Eliyahu, the woman had to feed him first from the little she has left, and only once she passes that challenge is she awarded with a miracle. Lastly, in the story with Eliyahu, the miracle is done in private, in that one house, and with that one woman, whereas here the miracle involves all the neighbors as well. We can see Eliyahu's story being about demanding proper behavior, even in the process. There is some suffering. Elisha is more supportive and assisting without expecting a lot in return. He plays down the religious message, whereas Eliyahu was more in your face about God. The double nature of the miracle here is that not only was there enough oil to fill all the vessels, but there was still extra oil and extra money beyond what was owed to the creditors, as seen in Pasuk Zion. The second and largest story in this perek is the story of the Shunammit, starting in Pasuk Chet. She is called an Isha Gdola and is involved in tremendous acts of chesed, as evidenced by all she does for Elisha. We are also introduced to Gehazi, Elisha's assistant slash sidekick. He is the one who, in an act of gratitude, pushes the woman to make a request, even though she seems content with her lot in life and does not ask for a child or even jump at the prospect of being granted one. When Gehazi suggests it, she does not define herself only in capacity as a mother and channeled her energies towards positive acts of chesed instead of basking in the bitterness of despair. Elisha provides a child miraculously in Pasuk Yud Zayin and then revives that child miraculously as well in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, indicating a double miracle. Although once again this miracle echoes one that Eliyahu performed, he was only involved in one life-providing miracle, while Elisha was involved in two. Upon reading through the story, you may have noticed thematic as well as linguistic similarities to when the Malachim tell Abraham and Sarah that they will have a child in a year's time, and their skeptical reaction as well to the news, such as in Pasuk Tet Zayin, Lemoed hazeh ke'et chaya at choveket ben, and the woman's reaction of Al techazev b'shifchatcha. It probably comes as no surprise that this perek is read as the Haftorah for Parshat Vayera due to these connections. Aside from the exemplary hachnasat orchim and similarities of the unexpected arrival of a child, there is also the similarity of the saving of that child from near death in both parshiot. Rav Elchanan Samet tries to explain why the Shunammit lost her child after such a big miracle was made out of giving her one in the first place. He criticizes her for not celebrating her son's birth in ways we know the Imahot, who were barren, did. She did not properly take advantage of the tremendous spiritual opportunity she was presented. When she loses the child, she then begins to realize her mistake and she fights to bring his life back and searches for spirituality in the form of Elisha. At the end of the parak, she does properly associate with the miracle as she bows to Elisha's feet. Rav Samet places some blame on Elisha too for not directing this woman properly from the start and realizing how best to raise her gift. Elisha is so free with miracles that maybe he is not doing a thorough enough job of making sure they are leaving people changed and in a different place than they were before. That could be why Elisha was not clued in initially through Nevuah about what happened to the boy when he dies. Rav Mordechai Sabato places more blame on Elisha than on the woman here. He thinks that Elisha offering the miracle of a child to this woman in the first place was outside the scope of the power of a Navi, and he acted as if he was the one able to grant life. Devarim Rabbah clearly states that the key to giving life is in the hands of Hashem only. That is why Hashem then kills the child, for Elisha to be aware that he does not have the same power as Hashem. It is only when he fully turns to Hashem as that giver of life that Hashem responds and provides life again. Elisha first sends Gehazi with his staff to perform the miracle in Pasuk Chavtet. Crazy if you think about it. He sends a shaliach to do something that only Hashem usually does. There is no mention of tefillah either. Elisha is successful only later on when he places his eyes, his lips on the child, having direct contact without anything, or in this case, anyone in between. Rav Sabato understands the lessons in this story as being part of a maturation process for Elisha as Navi. Another important element is evaluating the character Gehazi. He accompanies Elisha throughout the story of the Shunammit. Gehazi was the one to suggest providing the woman with a child. Elisha then sent him to perform the revival of the child first, but it does not work. Seemingly because Gehazi was told to be modest and keep his mission to himself if he gets stopped along the way. But according to Rashi, he does not obey this order. Why does Elisha involve him? Gehazi maybe represents the idealism of Elisha, trying to include more people in his spiritual mission, very different than Eliyahu, who did not want even righteous Elisha accompanying him on the journey leading to his death in Perek Bet. Elisha is idealistic and sees the good in people and looks to give them opportunities to shine. Even when Gehazi does not revive the child, Elisha still includes him in informing the mother once he does successfully revive the child. Ultimately, Elisha's trust in Gehazi becomes problematic, but it comes from a good place. Elisha, as a people person, needs to learn when to have controls in place about who he involves in his holy work in order for it to be successful. This is a very different challenge than Eliyahu, who liked to work alone. Aside from the lessons Elisha learns throughout this parak, it is also clear from the structure of the distinct stories in this parak that Elisha's popularity and career is expanding. The first story takes place among his cadre of Nevi'im. The second story takes place in Shunam, a city. And the last stories of this parak take place when he has a whole group of people in his sphere, referred to as an Am in Pasuk Membet. And people from different cities come to bring him food. The last story in the parak involves Lechem Bikurim, a reference to the ripened first fruits, implying a ripening of his career as Navi. In these last two stories in the Perek, we make the transition from lofty life and death miracles to more of the mundane kind involving food. These everyday moments are also opportunities to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim and recognize miracles. Elisha is now back in Gilgal, and his servant prepares a pot even when there was not yet anything to eat. He already sets the stage for a miracle. When poisonous items end up contaminating the stew, the normal course of action would be to dump and start again. Yet Elisha is able to heal the poisonous stew through adding flour and not removing anything from the pot. The symbolic message transmitted is not to give up and assume one is beyond the point of no return. Elisha was certainly willing to work with the sinful nation and try to raise them up, as opposed to rejecting them in their lowly state. He taught that there are ways to improve and always have faith in Hashem, no matter how bleak. In the end, the bad was transformed to good and able to sustain the hungry students. The nature of this miracle is similar to the water in Yericho, that in both, something is added which should not normally or naturally transform the inedible into edible. Yet it does. And both miracles drive home the message that Elisha is willing to engage and show mercy towards even non-deserving people. The last story with the small quantity of bread feeding the large amount of people can also be seen as a double miracle in that there ended up being enough to feed 100 people plus extra. This story brings us back full circle as it ends off with a similar type of miracle as the first story in the Perek with the oil and the vessels, where there was also enough oil for all the pots plus excess. What we see from this Perek is Elisha builds community through giving and being inclusive, even when it did not seem logical and practical to do so. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.